You're listening to Show Me Your Assets. I'm your host, Dottie Dynamo, burlesque dancer and stripper turned personal trainer. This show is about sexy work, fitness, money, and everything in between. You'll learn how to train smarter, navigate body image in an industry that centers your looks, manage your money, and prioritize self-care and recovery so you can avoid burning out over and over again. While I have your attention, you should know I have the tendency to cuss like a sailor. So if you're in mixed company, grab your headphones because there's no telling what I might say. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of Show Me Your Assets. We have a pretty good episode, in my opinion, coming to you today. We're going to talk about the five mistakes that sex workers and dancers make with their money in this industry for numerous reasons, from not learning a lot about money, which I don't think many of us do, right? It's not something we're taught in school unless your parents really talk to you about money management. You just didn't learn it. And second, a lot of us are making a cash income, or at least something that is a little bit more under the table. And so these mistakes come up with that. And also, there's just such a different dynamic of working as your own boss or being an independent contractor or self-employed, and how that changes your money. If you didn't listen to the episode about, or episode 27, I believe it was, about like you're self-employed and how does this change how you handle your money, go back and listen to that episode. It's a pretty good lead into this one, which are the five mistakes. So we'll go over the mistakes and we're also going to talk about how to avoid them. So let's just dive right in, shall we? The first and biggest mistake that I see happen, and I come at this from personal experience as someone who worked a 9-to-5 and then became a full-time dancer, is hoarding cash at home. Well, I don't know where you're keeping your cash, but I'm going to just go ahead and guess that like 90 to 99% of you have cash stored at home right now. And more than likely, this comes from a few places, right? We learn that if you don't put the money in the bank, the government doesn't know about it. If the government doesn't know about it, you don't have to pay tax on it. So it just feels really good to never put that money in the bank because it's like you're screwing over the man. But in a sense, you're also screwing yourself, because by not putting that money in the bank, by not paying taxes on it, you are setting yourself up to be not eligible for unemployment in a lot of times. If you were a dancer or in the industry already in 2020, you probably dealt with the not being eligible for unemployment or your income being registered as so low that your unemployment was abysmal. I think I was getting like $118 a week because of the fact that I fudged on how much I made a year. So those are some of the mistakes that happen when you're hoarding your cash at home versus putting it in the bank. There's also this like safety and security about having that cash, right? You have easy access to it. You can look at it. You can count it. It sort of gives you this like, wow, I've made all of this money. To be able to see it right in front of your hands, it weirdly feels safer to have it than to put it into the bank. But if you have been paying attention to the news story going around many accounts in this industry online, or if you just have been paying attention to the news, you have probably saw the report about the high-end strippers being targeted in Brooklyn and how the robbers, I guess that's the best word I can think of at the moment, got away with $79,000 in cash in small bills. So I'm going to guess these are probably 50s, 20s, 10s, 5s, 1s, like all that money you're bringing home from work. This is another reason why we don't want to hoard our cash at home. Having it at home makes it susceptible to robbery. It makes it susceptible to fire. In an instant, that money could be gone. Not as, you know, as well as the money could just be gone, you're not gaining any sort of interest on money that's sitting at home. I'm sure we are all very well aware of inflation right now, and prices are skyrocketing, gas is skyrocketing, your dollar isn't going as far. And that also means that dollar that you have sitting at home that maybe you have from last year or 6 months ago isn't worth the same amount as it was when you brought it home from work. It has gone down in value. If you were to put that money into the bank, and not just a checking account, but a bank account that's getting interest, that money would be making money for you right now, meaning it's going to still lose a little bit of value, but not in the same way it is when it's sitting at home. Because of the interest rate in those accounts, it's earning money while it's sitting there. So we really want to get away from keeping all of that cash at home. And I know there are lots of arguments for doing it and lots of justifications, and I get them all, but I'm looking out for your best interest of actually making financial freedom for yourself from this industry. And that is getting that money out of your house and getting it into a bank account for so many reasons. Okay, the second mistake that I see dancers making is not, or sex workers in general, right? Anyone who, once again, is self-employed is not setting aside money for time off, not setting aside money for 6 days. They are inevitable, right? Whether it's you want to take a vacation, whether it's you get sick, maybe you got COVID, maybe you broke a bone or got injured. I was once hit by a car riding my bike to the club to work. I got hit by a car. I ended up needing time off from work. I had medical bills, which is a whole separate case, but I didn't have money set aside for in the event that I couldn't work. And this is something that so many of us, it's an oversight that we don't think of, right? We don't get paid time off, right? There are no sick days in showbiz, in adult entertainment industry. Like, there are no sick days. Most people, especially in the strip club world, are coming into work sick because they don't have a choice. And that just spreads whatever the illness is around the club. And now we have other dancers sick. And it's all because there's this oversight of not setting aside money for time off or sick days. We know we're going to get sick. We're human. We know we're going to want time off. And if you don't want to be working extra shifts or doubles leading up to taking time off so that you have the money to spend while you're gone, and then being forced to work extra shifts and doubles when you get back to play catch up for the fact that you weren't making money while you were gone, setting up a savings account that you're putting a percentage of your earnings from each night into as a paid time off fund is how you pay yourself, right? If you want paid time off in this industry, you have to be able to pay yourself. So that's mistake number two, is not setting aside that money for time off and sick days. And the easiest way to rectify that is to start a savings account that is specifically for that and putting a percentage of that money into it every time you work, right? There's a percentage of how much you come home with goes towards that PTO, towards that sick day. Mistake number three is failing to save for retirement or simply your exit from this industry, right? There are so many seasons and reasons and avenues of getting into this business. Some of us are here for a lifetime. Some of us are just trying to pay our way through college. Some of us are surviving or trying to make a better life for ourselves and get out of bad circumstances. Some of us don't want to be here forever. It is literally a means to an end. And no matter why you're here, what you got into it, and how long you intend to stay, that's not important. What's important is that you're remembering that there is a future version of you who will no longer be in this industry, whether it's because you have decided you're done, whether it's because you're finally out of an age where you're like, okay, if you're a stripper, right, that shelf life has hit, or you just don't want to be working anymore. If you're a cam person or a dom and you are just like, I want to retire at such and such age and like go sit on a beach and drink Mai Tais, you have to plan for that. Okay, retirement is the most expense, that's a really shitty way of saying that, but is the most costly thing of your entire life is your retirement. Okay, right now you are working shift to shift and you're surviving off the money that you're bringing home. But in order to retire, you have to somehow still be able to survive and pay your bills from day to day. If you want to live at the same level you are right now, you need to be setting aside enough money to be able to do that. And if it's simply like you're dancing right now, or you're camming, or you're whatever it is you're doing. You're doing burlesque on the side and you're doing it simply for the extra money. Are you planning for when you exit? And if not, then you're not taking advantage of the money you're making and making it last for you long term. So by setting up some sort of IRA or a brokerage investment account, or simply another high yield savings account where you're setting aside that money and you are planning for future you, so that you're planning for future you. We don't have company matched 401ks in this industry. So it's completely up to you, just like that paid time off, to plan for your eventual retirement. When you hang up your G-string or your whip or your shoes or your corset or your pasties or whatever it is, when you finally hang that up, how much money have you set aside while you are actively working to allow you to continue the lifestyle that you're at for longer? Okay, mistake number 4, spending the money you make as fast as you're bringing it in, because there's this mentality that you can always make more money tomorrow. This is especially rampant in the stripper community. I'm not as familiar if it's as common in other forms of sex work, but I'm willing to guess that it is. But especially in the clubs, right? As a stripper, you're walking out with a cash handful every night, right? All of this cash in hand every single night. And it's so easy to just blow through it in a couple days, because the mentality is, well, I can just go back tomorrow. There'll be more money tomorrow. I can just pick up an extra shift. Oh, I want to go do that? Well, I'll just work an extra shift. So we get so reliant on this day-to-day turnover of cash that we just spend it, right? And that ties in to that mistake number 3 of failing to save for retirement. And it ties into mistake number 2 of not setting aside money for time off. So you can see how these all sort of blend in together. And my only rebuttal that I have, my like number 1 why not to do that for mistake number 4, is 2020. So many people got into this industry in some way or another post 2020 or during 2020 with the rise of like OnlyFans. So there are a lot of people who are in this industry now who didn't go through that major loss of income, that major loss of work, that identity crisis of what the fuck am I doing and how am I going to survive? But if you were here pre-2020 and you're still doing this, you're still blowing through your money as fast as you make it, 2020, like, I just want to keep repeating that. What if that were to happen again? What if? Okay, we always want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up to not go through that panic moment. And if you lived through that panic moment and you're still sort of repeating these same mistakes with your money, there's no shame in it. But now is the time, right? Now is the time to make that switch, to start making those adjustments, to start learning how to better manage your money so that you don't end up there again. Life is simply, right, I don't know if you're into tarot, if you're here, but I feel like the majority of people in this industry are more into the woo, right? We think of the Wheel of Fortune card, and you're just going through this same cycle. Life will keep sending these lessons to you until you learn from them. It's time. It's time to learn the lesson and to grow and to move forward. Mistake number 5, let's just roll right into mistake number 5. And that is making personal and work purchases all from the same account. So we're just sort of like blending and blurring all of our money together. And this is a huge mistake, because if you listen to the previous episodes, episode 27 about how you are self-employed and you should be handling your money like a business, this ties into that. Okay. When tax time comes and you're trying to figure out like, what was an expense? How much should I pay? I'm not really sure. I just have this notes app with some things written down, and I have my notebook where I wrote down what I made every night, but it's all just kind of a blur. And you're trying to go through your bank account and figure out what was work and what was business. And you're going through your Amazon purchases and trying to decide what you bought for work and what wasn't. It's a hot ass mess. So one of the best ways to make that easier on yourself is to separate it. Have an account where you're depositing the money that you made from what you're doing, like what your income is. And then you're just transferring a portion of that, your actual take-home pay, into a separate personal account where you only make personal expenses, only personal purchases. And then that business account is where you only make business purchases. Streamlining your money this way not only makes tax time easier, right? That is the best way to make tax time less panic-ridden, is to start separating those purchases, start separating your money. But also, then you have a better idea of how much money you're actually making, you as an individual, right? How much your business is making, you as a dancer, you as a cam model, you as a burlesque performer, you as whatever it is your version of work is, sugar baby, whatever, versus how much is your actual personal income. And then you can better know, am I charging enough for what I'm doing? Should I be charging more money? Should I be working more hours? Start to look at your money a little bit differently, and it can change everything. So just one more quick run through of what those five mistakes were, right? They were hoarding our cash at home, not setting aside money for time off or for sick days, failing to save for retirement or your exit from the industry at some point, if that is what you choose to do. Spending your money as fast as you're making it because of that, like, I'll always make more tomorrow mentality. And then mixing your personal and work expenses all, or purchases, all from the same account. So if you're making any one of these mistakes, or maybe all of them, I don't want you to feel any sort of shame about this. I have made every single one of these mistakes. I know so many people in the industry who are making one, if not all, of these mistakes. That is why the Master Your Cash Academy has become a thing. It's why it is being built into fruition. It's why I will be offering this money course to help you figure out how to better navigate your cash in this industry as someone who is self-employed, who doesn't have the benefits of a 9-to-5 vanilla job, like that paid time off and the retirement matching, or a steady paycheck that you can bank on getting the same amount every single week. But also, you have this possibility to leverage the amount of your money you're making into actually getting rich, into building your wealth, and being able to retire early if you want to, if you manage that money properly. Enrollment for Master Your Cash Academy will be opening the last week of June, first week of July, somewhere around there, if you want to make sure that you are one of the first people to be notified when enrollment opens, if you want to get the benefit of the waitlist pricing, which will be more affordable than the general public pricing, get on the Mind Your Money email list. I will leave a link to it in the show notes. That's all I have for you today, and I'll see you on the next episode of Show Me Your Assets.
As always, if you found this episode helpful or benefited from it in any way, or you think someone else would benefit from this episode, I'd love for you to take a screenshot, share it on your social media, and tag me at Dottie Dynamo so I can see who's following along.